This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Seattle-based Facebook employees need a bigger office. According to GeekWire, Facebook wants to find at least 80,000 square feet in downtown Seattle. One more piece of evidence that the Seattle tech scene is thriving. Here with an update, Todd Bishop, co-founder of GeekWire. Hello.
Hi, Marcy.
So what does it mean that Facebook is expanding in Seattle?
It means that there is a lot of engineering talent here, both coming out of the University of Washington and other schools, and also at established companies like Microsoft and Amazon. And you've seen this wave of companies, including Facebook, come up here and establish offices. Google was one of the first companies to do this and grow very rapidly.
What is it about here?
It's maybe it's the coffee. I don't know. It is Microsoft's legacy, Amazon's legacy. It snowballs and it creates this culture of engineering and a large pool of engineering talent. Just today, we were able to report that HBO is actually doubling the size of its Seattle office, going up to about 100 engineers over the next few months.
So these are all companies with big names. When the biggies expand, what does that mean for entrepreneurial types?
It's a great point. It creates a challenge because these are companies with large-scale perks, high-end amenities that they can offer these employees, and it becomes tougher and tougher for the startups that could eventually become the tech giants to actually attract those employees. So it's a bit of a catch-22.
Well, before we leave the topic of Facebook, over the weekend I happened to notice on my Facebook feed a lot of people posting an article that essentially said that if you were a Facebook user, you were probably subject to a widespread study that Facebook conducted.
Yes. How does it feel to be a lab rat? I think that's pretty much what the takeaway was for a lot of people. Facebook, back in 2012, at least one of its data scientists with some outside university researchers, conducted an experiment where they took a controlled group, and for some of the people, they suppressed the positive posts that they saw in their newsfeed. For other people, they suppressed the negative posts that they saw. And what they found was that there was a contagion of mood. So, for example, if all of your
jealousy
friends were
on my part.
Exactly, primarily posting positive things and you saw those in your newsfeed, it impacted what you would then post. And they do. They call this a massive scale emotional contagion.
Why did they do that?
They wanted to essentially see and prove that these kinds of mood influencing activities extended beyond the physical world. So it wasn't just nonverbal cues or being in the same room with somebody. It could actually extend to online life. Now, the question here and the place where it gets a little creepy is, what if Facebook or somebody else tried to do this on a large scale to essentially influence the population?
Exactly.
And that is the concern.
Well, I'm also wondering if this is legal.
It is technically legal, and Facebook says that through their terms of service that we all agree to, and I'm sure we all read every one of the 9,000 words.
Click, 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 yes.
We're essentially agreeing to this type of experimentation. Now, their other defense is that it was pretty small scale, that it did not influence the types of content overall that people would see, and it was a somewhat confined experiment.
Wow. Well, I just want them to stop having all the happy posts of people who get to travel to wonderful places. Can I put that into some kind of study?
If only that were contagious.
If only that were contagious. You mentioned Microsoft a bit earlier, and in another effort to stay in the game, they're making an Android-based phone?
That's right. Now, this started at Nokia, which Microsoft recently acquired the smartphone business from. But the really interesting news is that Microsoft has decided to continue with Nokia's experiment in Android phones.
Well, what about the Windows phone?
Now, Nokia is still making Windows phones, and that is its primary focus. But Microsoft is essentially conceding the fact that Android has this dominant presence, particularly in international markets, and using this then as a channel to get its services out into the world, things like OneDrive and Bing and other online services.
Has there been an increase in usage of the Windows phone at all?
You know, they have seen some pretty static market share. It depends on which part of the world you look at. In the U.S., they've struggled a bit. Overseas, in some markets, they've been especially strong. But certainly the iPhone and Android are still the dominant forces in the industry.
Todd Bishop, last time you were here, it was the eve of the unveiling of the big Amazon phone.
That's right.
You've tried this phone.
That's right. The Amazon Fire phone came out. I tried it out. My quick impressions: technically, it works very well. For example, the sensors in the device, by looking at your face, essentially, can tell when you're tilting it left or right, or if you're scrolling down by tilting it back or forward. It worked very well, technically very great. However, I worry that it's more of a gimmick. In other words, that after a couple of weeks of use, you would probably go back to just using your finger because it's the most natural thing to do to scroll up and down or to activate those menus.
Because we've all been trained by the iOS software. Back to Microsoft real briefly to end with the World Cup is on, and Microsoft's browser Bing is vying for the Detroit Octopus predicting the winner. How's it doing?
That's right. 60% in the group stage. Microsoft's Bing search engine was just a little bit better than average if you had flipped the coin. They're doing much better so far in the knockout rounds. They've been 100% accurate in the knockout rounds so far. But this is part of Microsoft's attempt to make Bing more than a search engine, to turn it into essentially a data platform where you can come in and use all sorts of data from the internet and your own databases to make predictions.
Now, does this come from the new leadership at Microsoft?
You know, in part, this does, because Microsoft is trying to make its online services ubiquitous across a bunch of different devices, and that actually gets into the Nokia Android phone as well.
Well, maybe we'll be looking at a whole new business over there in Redmond. Todd Bishop is a tech writer for GeekWire, and he joins us regularly on The Record. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Marcy.